So we've just passed the top of the hour. I want to remind everybody again that if they'd like to send us a message, please do so on roadkillradio@live.ca. That's our email address, roadkillradio@live.ca. You're listening to Roadkill Radio, of course, with Ron Gray, Carrie Simpson, and me. I'm Terry O'Neill. And we are now joined by our first guest, our advertised guest for the evening, Helen Ward from Kids First. Hi, Helen.
Hey, hi.
Welcome, Helen.
Nice to have you back.
Good to see you all.
You've been busy, busy.
Pretty busy.
Yeah.
Why do they give you so much to do?
Well, there's lots to do in the world of parents and kids.
Yeah.
The politics of parenting.
Yeah. By the way, we like to talk. Before we get into the issue du jour, Helen, there was a press release from the provincial government today, something about their increasing support for single mothers to from $850 to $1,000 a month or something. Well, Carrie, while you're talking to Helen about the issue of the day, and I think you'd be in support of that.
Probably.
Okay. But, Carrie, why don't you lead off the introduction and about the issue, and I'm going to search for that press release from the provincial government, because it's sort of thing that I know that Helen's talked about in the past. Anyway, go ahead.
Okay. We have talked about the subject before, but I have to tell you, I get a lot of calls from a lot of parents that say, Carrie, remember what you were talking about, that data collection thingamabob, you know, because they don't have the language, of course. And I say yes, and they go, well, I got a letter. And
I got the letter.
They're at it again, are they?
They're at it again. They want your data, and they're sending a letter that doesn't really tell you that.
Yeah. No, it doesn't. Yeah. Yeah.
What sort does of their letter tell you? What does it say?
Well, kindergarten parents will most likely be getting a letter from their schools that's signed by Dr. Clyde Hertzman, who's the head of the Human Early Learning Partnership based at UBC. There we go. And the letter, it has a lot, it's 3 pages long. It has a lot of words on it, but not a lot of information. It tells them about this thing called the Early Development Instrument, the EDI, which is basically a long questionnaire that kindergarten teachers fill in on each of the kids. And this is behavioral research. And it mentions about the EDI, and then it refers to data linkage, and it mentions that medical and health records and education records may be linked. And that's all it says about basically a massive data mining project that's been going on for years in BC. Mm. It doesn't detail what what personal private data is being linked. And also the letter doesn't, I mean, this is a research project, and parents are not being asked for their consent. Like, you don't have to sign this and say, yes, I read and understand the information, and my child may or may not, you know, participate. You know, we have a hot dog day. If you don't sign that form, the kid doesn't get
a hot dog.
No dog. No sign, no dog.
Okay. There is an opt-out. If you want to opt out, you can instruct to opt out, or what?
You may opt out by talking to the teacher. That's what it mentions. It's called passive consent, which...
It assumes that you're just going to go with the flow. And right. I want to read exactly what data are collected. And again, this is right off the letter that has gone out to Dear Parent
and Guardian. And this is of kindergarten children.
This is kindergarten children. The EDI asks questions about 5 areas of development: physical health and well-being, 2, social knowledge and competence. What's social knowledge? I mean, whose idea of social knowledge are we going to be using here? Emotional health and maturity. 4, language and cognitive development, and 5, general knowledge and communication skills. The school will also provide help with your child's personal education number, which will only be used to assist with approved research. What does that mean?
Approved by whom?
Yeah.
The school uses your child's name to administrate collection of the EDI, but does not disclose the name to help for research purposes. Your child's name is not on their EDI questionnaire, but the personal education number is.
And their postal code and their birth date.
Right.
And the language they speak at home.
Okay, well, let me connect the dots.
So you're going to have...
You can connect
the dots. So unless the parent takes the opportunity to make a personal contact somehow with the teacher... every participating school district will have all of their kindergarten teachers fill out some sort of long form.
It's 8 pages long.
Making, I guess, arbitrary assessments on physical health and well-being, social development, competence, emotional health, maturity, And all this in order to better gauge whether or not the kids entering kindergarten are ready for kindergarten or ready to be good students or what?
Well, that's what they say, but... Does anyone
here remember a little while ago when one of the cable companies introduced negative option billing?
Yeah, that didn't work too well.
Smoke came out of people's ears. Right. This is the same thing. It's negative option participation in data mining.
Well, let me. This is their words. I love it when their words are so obvious.
Wait for a bit on that.
Okay, this is under the heading on the same letter, people. What is involved in project participation? Your taking part is voluntary, and you need not return this form to have your child participate.
Oh, great.
Exactly.
Oh, thank goodness.
Throw it away and you're in.
Participation will not affect any services that your family receives from your school district. You have the right to withdraw from the study at any time, and you have the right to ask that your teacher not answer any of the questions. If you wish to remove your child's name from the participants, please contact your teacher's child within 4 weeks upon receiving the slip. So you have to go to, this is not signed consent to do this. You have to go to the effort to get them out of it. Then it goes on to say, and this is very interesting, if at any time you have concerns about your treatment or rights as a person who takes part in this project. So aren't they basically advising you that even though your child's taking part in this, it's you.
You're taking part in this.
Well, the parents' data is being linked too.
You may contact the research line, blah, blah, blah. If at any time you have concerns about your treatment or rights as a person who takes part in this project.
Okay, well, here's something that's quite interesting as well then. I mean, if this is supposed to be some sort of scientific study, then if word gets out and
creative and you have reaching for
and you have tip. Wholesale numbers of parents saying no, I don't want to take part in this, then the scientific credibility of this is going to be out the window, right?
Well, Stats Canada does studies or surveys, and they are voluntary surveys, and there's no way you can be involved in a Stats Canada survey or your kid or your kid's teacher filling in stuff about your kid without you knowing. I contacted Stats Canada because HELP says that we follow Stats, you know, that same level of rigor as far as privacy protection goes. That's what they've said. And they don't. Stats Canada, if the teacher's filling in information regarding your kid, you must sign a written consent form. If you're participating in their study, well, they're asking you the questions. So there's no way you're not going to know. And if you don't want to do it, you just say, I'm not consenting. So HELP is like misinforming people about the level of security. And it's not like Stats Canada. And if there is no problem with their study, well, why not ask for parents to give consent?
Mm-hmm. Helen, has HELP put this past the Privacy Commission?
That's a good question. HELP has... been under an ethics review from the Behavioral Research Ethics Board at UBC. And they've got permission for this letter and this research, or whatever they want to call it, but they've had to add a lot more information to the letter. In the past, there was no letter, there was no opt-out, and there was even less information. This research ethics board has still allowed them to do this passive consent. It's an exception to the norm. An exception was granted. Why is UBC granting an exception? And why is some behavioral ethics board, 12 people at UBC, being delegated the rights of parents about consent?
Well, if you're doing something that violates the Privacy Act,
well, that's another question.
Is the way around it then to set up your own ethics review board and get it to give you a rubber stamp?
Well, part of it is that, from what I understand, is that in BC, the Privacy Act has been changed quite radically. No other province does this to their population. HELP and Clyde Hertzman, the head of HELP, they brag that this is the database that they're building in BC is unique in the world. They're linking data. This is a quote from a HELP document from preconception to young adulthood. But actually, there's no end in sight. Hertzman's HELP has asked or recommended to Stats Canada that our personal income tax records be also linked. The data that they include, pharmaceutical records, medical records, hospital records, birth, marriage, death records, WorkSafe BC records, education records up to post-secondary, perinatal, that's pregnancy data. That's like, that's mother's records. And WorkSafe BC, well, the kids aren't getting injured at the workplace yet, so, but this is all being linked. So they're linking parents' records along with the children's records, census data, like, you know, help will tell you, oh, we're not, the children's names aren't being used and their addresses aren't being used. Well, you can look up somebody's name, you find their postal code, and the postal code is one of the big things that's, that links everything else, and, you know, and the, you can figure out now, the stuff.
The whole purpose of this, and this has been an ongoing thing, the EDI, Early Development Instrument, is to help the school district and the community, quote, better understand what needs to be done in the community to make sure that all children are ready for school. Now, this is a big philosophical issue or educational issue here right now, because it used to be that it was seen that kindergarten was helping get ready, kids get ready for school. The fact that this is being administered to kindergarten students suggests that now we want to make sure that kids are ready for kindergarten, which will imply or drive, one would think, this whole thing about ever more kindergarten. We've got full day kindergarten already. That is.
But it's only for, you know, 4 and 5 year olds.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing.
It's not enough.
What this seems to be leading to, and what I'm at least as worried about as all these privacy issues, mm-hmm. is this drive by government to force, to sort of, it's not going to be forcing, it's going to be basically bullying families into sending their kids into the open arms of the state-run thought farms. That's a good way of putting it, eh?
Thought farms. I'm going to add that one down.
Thought farm. At an ever earlier age.
Well, that's exactly HELP's other primary purpose. One is the data collection. Their other purpose is, as far as I can tell, driving the expansion of institutional child care. HELP's people, the top people at HELP, have been pushing this agenda for over 10 years. The purpose of the EDI, they call it a tool, part of a toolkit for, you know, daycare lobby, basically, yes. to push their agenda. They basically, the EDI provides the junk science, so-called evidence, to show that there's, kids are not ready for school. There's a plague of vulnerability.
That's right. Now the kids are not ready for kindergarten. Kids are not ready for pre-kindergarten.
That's right.
Kids are not ready for birth. We got education
no, they're
in
not.
The womb.
No, no. Well, it's HELP is pushing.
Don't give them ideas.
I'm sorry. I do this all the time. I'm sorry.
It's your fault.
I wondered what was driving this agenda. It's Terry O'Neill.
They brought in the all-day kindergarten, and there was no election platform or mandate for that whatsoever, but the original thing was to explore the feasibility of all-day kindergarten for children ages 3 to 5. And 3-year-olds includes 2-year-olds born,
I want to just touch on that, because I'm back on HELP's early learning partnership. Okay,
the partnership, yeah.
And we were talking about this before the show, because there's this interesting little quote that they throw up here, people, and it's worth going and poking around.
On that website,
it's very concerning when you start to.
Some things have been removed,
but this is a quote of somebody that they thought was worth posting on. The world doesn't change one person at a time; it changes as networks of relationships form among the people who discover they share a common cause and vision of what's possible. This is good news for those of us intent on changing the world and creating a positive future. Now, okay.
Big picture, you know, stuff here, eh?
Well, that wouldn't be bad if it's a group of adults sitting around, but this is
I guess parse that sentence.
Well, yeah, like, no, so that's a big statement,
a lot
isn't
of
it?
Stuff
these
in there.
Visionary first off, people.
First off, there's some assumptions about how the world changes.
Well, their assumptions.
You know,
and they're
assumptions.
The ones that are important.
The
obvious.
World doesn't change through individual hearts and mind being changed, but through networks of people being changed.
These networks, I mean, HELP is totally funded by our tax dollars. The BC government.
It smells a little like collectivism.
You know, are funding the EDI.
What was that word? Collectivism?
Sorry, Helen.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have my own networks, but we don't get paid millions of dollars.
Other people's money.
To do our work. You know, we just sort of, you know, make those potluck dinners and whatever and have people over and whatnot and talk and organize in our own humble way.
And your networks are not built by negative option participation.
No, no, you have to actually show up, basically. Yeah. You know, and so these visionary people who've, you know, funded by the government, I mean, we can attack help all we want, but we have to, you know, face the facts that it's our government that's funding this, our technocratic
two things. Government. The government, but also parents are just acquiescing to whatever is in front of them and allowing this. And this is where parents have to stand up and say, don't abuse my children, don't spy on my family, and don't abuse the public education system for purposes that are not related to the education of my child.
But help has worked very hard to avoid informing parents. I mean, this letter is long and uninformative. If they started listing...
Like a UN document.
Well, yeah, I mean, like when I actually... I got concerned because I accidentally, some years ago, found this help document that listed the records, and it just blew my mind. I mean, perinatal data, education data, all this stuff. What is this? You know, that's Big Brother. And so they don't list that, because if they did, well, parents would say, trading over my kid's data for his entire life, plus my own personal data for our entire life, there's no end in sight. I don't think I'm going to sign up for that. Mm. And help does many, many presentations, usually involving free dinners or free breakfasts. I've been to a few, all over the province, to their so-called community and school links, communities. But they never present to parents themselves. They don't target parents, like, you know, go to schools, talk to parents about what they're doing. They don't.
Practically speaking, I mean, they've already got now the full day kindergarten in, right? What more are they talking about that they want to use their... I mean, presumably, I got a feeling, and probably you've got the feeling, and Carrie, you and Ron, you've got the feeling that these guys want to find more evidence that kids are underdeveloped and don't have enough information, so we want to have more programs. Have you heard anything really specifically about what they want to do?
Help wants BC to spend $3 billion a year primarily on all-day kindergarten and what they call universal pre-kindergarten, that's UPK, and also much more daycare for children ages 18 months and over.
Okay,
that is laid out very specifically in great detail.
That's really what this is all about, then.
Okay,
this is providing
that
the,
was three
this
billion.
This is
three
to try to manufacture the evidence.
Yeah,
you know,
junk science
to propel the case forward to spend $3 billion to. Okay, so it's actually there. It's just not my paranoid fantasies about...
Oh, no, it's very specifically the document that's 80 pages long. That's been circulating in the government for some months.
Wow. Okay.
And I want to read the definition of their idea of what community is. Because
that's great, yeah.
They spell
paid
this out.
Staff.
Help identifies community very broadly. Our community members come from a variety of sectors, and the work of help is applicable across these settings. Certainly, community meets most of our common constituents, schools and kindergarten teachers, early childhood development. So exactly what you were saying, Terry, a few minutes ago. I mean, let's go down lower and lower, okay? Early child development organizations, early childhood educators, Aboriginal organizations, municipal, provincial, and federal governments. Yet, it also means people and organizations that might not be so commonly thought of as partners in early childhood research. Parents and grandparents.
They don't normally think of them as partners. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness gracious. It's kind of like, yeah, we better throw these guys in, too, although we'll just sort of give them lip service.
And we rate right up there with the entrepreneurs and labor unions. Okay,
the World Bank. Mention the World Bank.
Indeed, anyone that shares the vision of creating better environments for children can be confident that they are part of the help community.
Oh, that's sweet.
Oh, that's
is your heart all warm now?
You know, it's very warm.
I'm part of their community.
Would Ronald McDonald be part? That's all
I want. Yes, no, because help actively pursues partnerships with the business community. Mm. I mean, Hertzman has long worked for, at least since the late 80s, the World Bank, and he's still a consultant for the World Bank. He does not mention that on any of his current PR, which there's a lot of.
Right.
They seek partnerships. Like they did this long report for the BC Business Council. They work with the boards of trades. They're really actively pursuing the business community because they want to get them on side. Because, well, let's face it, there's money to be made.
I started off 20 minutes ago, and I mentioned that there had been an announcement today from the British Columbia government about increasing some subsidies for some sort of parents. And indeed, I found the press release. And actually, I'd like to get your response to it, and also to a quote that from the Minister of Children and Families. It's a two-paragraph press release. "It's not easy being a young parent," this press release starts, "especially if you're trying to complete your secondary school education. But thanks to a $150 increase in monthly subsidy rate to BC's young parent programs, these young adults will now have a greater opportunity to receive their high school diploma and create a better future for themselves and their children." Quote, "Parenting is quite literally our most important and most challenging job. Ever more so for young people trying to balance raising a child and getting a high school education," said, end of quote, said Children and Family Development Minister Mary Pollock. Quote, "By providing additional child care funding to support young parents, we help give them an opportunity to finish high school and pursue their dreams," end of quote. "The enhanced monthly subsidy rate will increase to $1,000 per child for a month from $850 a child, effective March the 1st. So we can debate the pros and cons of all of that, but generally, I know you've thought that this is what government should be doing, supporting.
No, this money is going to daycare. It's not going to child care. So they're increasing the, like, I'm a low-income parent. I'm entitled to the maximum amount of the subsidy for daycare, which would be over $750 a month for me. Now, these parents, these I guess they're teen parents,
teen
I suppose.
Teen parents, that's right. Yeah.
So they're increasing their LLL subsidy to $1,000. This is money for daycare. If that parent chooses to somehow look after the child themselves or with the other parent or whatever, they don't get money for that. Okay. This is money for daycare. Okay. And that subsidy is the fee subsidy. The daycare itself is heavily subsidized
already
on top of that fee subsidy.
Wow.
Like at least 50% more.
I mean, okay, but I want you to put this quote in your books and Carrie in yours, because I know, Carrie, you deal with the ministry all the time, and Helen, you are dealing with the provincial government. Parenting is quite literally our most important and most challenging job, even more so for young people trying to balance raising a child with getting a high school education. But the first part of that, parenting is quite literally our most important and most challenging job, dot, 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 end of quote, says Mary Pollock, Polak, actually, she pronounces her name, Children and Families Development Minister. We got to use that every time something comes up that contradicts that's coming from the provincial government, this contradicts that.
Well, that contradicts it. $150 bucks more for daycare. That's not for parenting. That's for daycare.
Oh, yeah, it's a child care subsidy. Child care subsidy.
The teen mums up at Bountiful, BC will not be getting this, right?
No, unless they have a daycare. They might have set up a daycare.
Okay. Oh, they could set up a daycare and then get this.
Yeah, okay. If they were working in the daycare, then that would help their daycare.
All right.
But I also have to mention that we've been talking about the kindergarten and the data collection there.
Yeah.
Well, but HELP's documents say that it's collecting the data and linking the numbers of all children in BC, not just the kindergarten children, all children.
Because they have to follow these kids now through school.
Well, even like they can link, they've linked the personal education and the medical numbers, the private medical numbers of 97% of the children, school-age children in BC, they said in 2004.
Now, this is something else about this questionnaire.
No consent at all there.
Right. Well, let's get into how this questionnaire, back to the original subject now, by the way, and off the press release, is administered. It's kindergarten teachers themselves who are being trusted to make all of these very important observations about their charges, physical health and well-being, social knowledge and competence, emotional health and maturity, language and cognitive development, general knowledge and communication skills. I mean, first off, how are they going to do that? Kindergarten doesn't measure any of that stuff. You're just going to have to guess as the bright kid.
And would you rate, in your opinion?
It's opinion.
This is going to be...
It's very subjective.
Very subjective.
And also, is it not true that something like this, because there's no checking, there's
no
checking on this,
is it not
in the kindergarten's teacher's interest to find that a lot of her kids... Oh, they're just not up to scratch. You know, we're going to need more money thrown at us.
Well,
we're going to need more kindergarten teachers.
Well, also, it's in their interest.
Yeah.
But it's also, even if they weren't, thinking that way, HELP has been indoctrinating kindergarten teachers, going around the province to every school district in the province. Personally, Dr. Kershaw has gone to almost all of them, talking to them, telling them about the importance of this stuff and how important they are to the whole world the whole world.
Oh, yeah, so we better find a lot of problems here.
Would you say this child...
Okay, wait, you've got the questionnaire.
Yeah.
Okay. Here you go.
Good.
Would you say this child is independent in washroom habits? Yes or no? Would you rate this child very good, average, poor, don't know?
Subjective evaluations will go into the data bank linked to that child and will follow that child through the data bank for the rest of his or her life.
To write a simple sentence in kindergarten. I mean, I never even tried in kindergarten. And some of the questions is like, well, whatever you think of this stuff itself, it's like when you want to do more solid research, you have to have some objective measures. Like they have a receptive vocabulary measure, it's called the Peabody Picture Vocabulary Test, a standard measure, an objective measure that can be used to evaluate children's language skills. And other, like when Stats Canada did similar research, they asked parents question. Like they ask here, is the child shy? Like, is that a good thing or bad thing? I don't know. But a child may be this way in the classroom or with a teacher. Like, does the child help other students and stuff like that? They might not do that at school. Or they might, and they might not. Might do it at home. It could be different. It's like this is not getting a whole picture of the child. Yeah. I mean, the purpose of the EDAI. It's not a peer-reviewed thing. Their findings that 30% of children are vulnerable, not ready for school, are not peer. It's not peer-reviewed either. But these findings are being actually creating government policy in BC in Ontario. Clyde Hertzman's going to be in Newfoundland tomorrow morning talking to the government there pushing this stuff.
I want to know why the BC Teachers Federation isn't up in arms about all the time and the expense and the energy that their poor, overworked, and underpaid members have to devote to filling this out. I mean, we know how difficult it is for the teachers of the province to administer the FSAs and what a traumatic experience that is for teachers and students alike, so much so that they're spending tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars in ads telling parents to opt out, pressuring politicians.
For the audience outside BC, that's the foundational skills assessment. It's a test that's given to students in BC twice a year.
That's right.
And the teachers union
going crazy
is telling his teachers not to administer
it
and
about
telling
it.
Parents how to pull their children
so
out.
It's been going on for 4 years.
I'm sure that as soon as the BCTF gets wind of this, that they're going to go crazy as well. That's got to be. I mean, this sort of stuff, that questionnaire for every student, a long questionnaire like that, the poor, beleaguered kindergarten teachers of the province must surely be going to their shop stewards and begging to try to get out of this sort of thing. It says too much work, we're overworked, and it's not fair. We're going to have to observe the kids, and the kids will probably feel that they're under scrutiny, too.
Those
poor children.
They might be teaching
your
to the test.
So far in your cheek is pushing
children.
Me off my
Think
chair.
Think of the children, everyone. Think of the children. They're going to be observed secretly by their teachers.
Mm-hmm. And evaluated, yes.
And that's not fair. The poor children,
tested.
The poor teachers.
This is a test.
Oh,
thank goodness
the BC Teachers Federation exists, and we know how concerned they are for the welfare of the students. We know how concerned they are for the welfare of the teacher members, and they will certainly get right onto this as soon as they learn about it, right?
And I'll help them to learn.
Is that right, Helen?
I haven't noticed. I'm planning to call them. The teachers are given time out of the classroom, and substitutes are hired, and that's usually two or more days per kid per teacher.
Who hires them?
Well, their substitutes are they're paid for. Help covers that cost. Well, the Ministry of Education pays for that cost, and that's got to be at least $1 million just to hire the substitutes.
Yeah.
Well, they'd probably approve of the FSA if they got a day off
and lose
and substitutes.
But no, the
hired.
BCTF has been completely silent. I've looked on their website for any comments about this. The teachers are participating.
Heads should roll at the BCTF on this one. I mean, they've got to be on guard here to protect the integrity of the education system, something like this.
Well, they've even asked the teachers the questions that the teachers can't possibly answer, like about the children's past non-parental care arrangements. Was the child in daycare? Was it full-time? Was it a licensed daycare arrangement?
I'm sorry, but you'll have to give me some money to hire a private investigator to dig
it's
that
like
one up.
They ask, does the child attend Sunday school or language classes or preschool? Part-time or full-time, and all this kind of stuff. Those are questions obviously teachers can't answer properly, so they might just tick, don't know. But it's like, this isn't real research. Yeah. I mean, that makes it, yeah. I mean, if you want to know those questions, you have to ask mom and dad. They don't want to ask mom and dad. They don't want to know that mom and dad, they want mom and dad to know what's going on. That's why they've got around the standard ethical procedures by getting this passive consent permitted, you know, and they don't tell parents what's going on. They don't tell the teachers what's going on.
The key difference between these two things, this and the FSA, is that this cannot possibly be used to evaluate how well the teacher is doing.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, that's right. That's why the teacher's union won't care about this, because it doesn't get back to the teacher.
Well, and also help
the teacher's fault that the kid is coming to school unprepared.
No. Okay, now you got to hear some of these questions,
more
you guys.
Questions.
Oh, well, you know, this is a long question. You're right, Terry. I mean, how long does this take in the classroom?
Well, they get days off now. They get 20 minutes, half an hour per child, 8 pages long.
Okay.
All right. I got to know the kid pretty well. Mm-hmm. So ask some questions, Carrie.
Okay, this is a kindergarten question.
Okay.
If there is a quarrel dispute...
Carrie, you answer these imagine me as a 5-year-old and then answer the questions there, okay?
Well, I have to observe you first, Terry.
You observe me.
Is Terry shy?
Now back it up. Back it up. Back it up 54 years.
Can he tell
a
story?
Back it up 54 years and just try to imagine what I was like back in kindergarten.
Oh, it's cute.
And answer
I'm having no trouble doing that.
I know.
Terry, dear.
Yes?
I have a question for you.
Yes, Mr. Thompson.
Can you answer a question for me?
Okay, Mr. Thompson.
Terry, if there was a quarrel or some of your friends were fighting, would you try to solve it or stop it?
Only if my brother was involved.
Is that very true, or is that sometimes true? Don't know. That's don't know. Okay.
I don't know.
Terry, if one of your friends was crying, what would you do? Would you try to comfort them, or would you leave them alone?
Or would you stop hitting them?
I would leave them alone.
Terry, if you saw one...
I feel sorry for anyone who's just tuned into this broadcast. They must think that it's the Goon Show.
Terry, if you saw one of your friends feeling uncomfortable or squiggling in the classroom, would you laugh at them?
I don't know.
That's an easy one. We just go don't know.
That's
don't
right.
know.
But
do you go to Hebrew school?
I go to catechism.
That's okay.
Now, Terry, do you have any home problems? Is there problems at home that you need to tell us about?
Really? Do they ask that?
Yes, problems at home? That's on
no,
there.
No, they don't ask the kids that.
No, the teachers ask that.
Teachers ask that.
These are all...
The teachers ask kids that directly?
No. This is what the teachers teacher are asked. Yeah. Problems
asked
at home.
So the teachers have to, if they know that there are problems...
They must take the answer.
Well, the teacher doesn't know.
Okay. Terry, are you ever unhappy, sad, or depressed?
I'm unhappy now, Mrs. Thompson.
We can see that. Tick yes.
Are you fearful or anxious?
I'm afraid of you, Mrs. Thompson.
Are you worried?
I'm worried this will never end.
Are you going to cry?
Mrs. Thompson, I'm going to cry.
Okay, we got it.
Well, we can see this rigorous, is called the early development instrument, as if it was a rigorous instrument.
Great, yes.
You know?
It's very scientific.
Are these questions on the website?
This is available on the website, yep.
Okay.
Wow. There we go.
You have to get me a copy of that?
Wow.
Yep. And the questions have changed here and there a bit over the years, apparently. So how they tally up their scores, which help will never tell you how they figure out this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if you change the baseline instrument, then you're going to change your scores. Because I don't know if you've heard the PR, because it's been a massive PR campaign that over 30% of children in BC are vulnerable.
Oh, yeah. Vulnerable.
Yeah. Like, I would say they're all vulnerable 100% because that's their kids, right?
Yeah.
And vulnerability is actually a good thing in children because... It means that they're open and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But help says vulnerability is like there's a plague out there. And because of this plague of vulnerability, we need all-day kindergarten and more daycare and pre-kindergarten and all that.
We need an anti-vulnerability vaccine.
Well, I got a very simple... It's kind of like poverty. As long as you keep defining poverty as income disparity, as our culture does, you're never going to get rid of
poverty.
Poverty, unless, of course, you have a Marxist utopia where everybody gets paid exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Otherwise...
Well, help is not suggesting that.
They're very well paid.
They're
otherwise, there will always be income disparity, and under our current measurement system, the bottom percentage of that will be defined as poor, even if they're... They're quite rich, according to world standards. And
Well, percentiles, actually, when they talk about vulnerability, help when you ask them, they won't tell you how they define
that, that's it.
But it's the bottom, more or less, because they've changed the bottom 10th percentile.
Sure. So there's always going to be a bottom 10th percentile. Even in the most well-adjusted society, there's going to be the bottom 10% are not quite as well-adjusted and high-performing as everyone else. They're the ones that are vulnerable now.
I got a feeling that
regardless of how many billions of dollars get thrown at this, that the only way we're going to get rid of this vulnerable population is for them to stop having this survey so they'll stop finding the vulnerable.
You hit it on the head. This is about creating thought farms. That's what this is about. You know, I'm sitting here looking at these questions, thinking, and I've got a pretty good sampling in my own home, having four children. Each one of those kids is an individual. Each one of those kids have strengths and weaknesses unique to them as an individual. There isn't any measurement of tool or anything else that you could equally apply that would give you an accurate read of what their strengths and weaknesses are.
And you know what?
What does it mean?
Parents
anyway?
Understand that.
Parents
best.
Got this. I mean, I had
parents who are these outside. parents was part of the community too. We better not forget to mention parents.
Right there with the labor unions.
Holy mackerel.
I think help needs some help. I think they need roadkill radio help. Maybe should help them.
Well, the whole EDI was actually designed around what Hertzman says, the philosophy. No evidence, no data. No data, no problem. No problem, no policy. So you have to create the evidence to get the policy that you want from the first,
well, you
from
have
the
to
get-go.
Manufacture the problem as well.
Yeah, you manufacture it all, and then you get what you want is that's all the kids solution. In institutional care, all the parents in the labor pool buying stuff.
Thank you.
No problem, no pay.
That's right.
Helen,
mackerel.
Wayne emails us in and asks, are the teachers or schools reimbursed for the time spent doing this?
I don't know. I just know that the help ministry provides the money for the substitutes to be hired.
Okay.
And also help they dine the kindergarten teachers and school administrators go to these help presentations. They're given free meals and whatnot, and they get time off work to do that.
How much of our money is going to this? Have you got their books yet?
I have not figured that out, but I figure it's got to be at least $1 million just to play for the substitutes. They help produces huge volumes of maps of vulnerability and all that. Here's the toolkit for change booklet they have. They go around the province promoting this propaganda. Hertzman's he's in Newfoundland tomorrow. Who's paying for that plane fare, promoting the all-day kindergarten and data collection agenda to the poor souls of Newfoundland.
Yeah. Helen Ward of Kids First, how can people find out more about this? What's your website address?
It's at kidsfirstcanada.org. You go to kidsfirstcanada.org and then go to the current section, and then there's a data collection and the all-day kindergarten. There's links on there. And these documents we're talking about are all linked up there, even stuff that's been taken off the website by help. We've made a formal complaint to the Behavioral Research Ethics Board at UBC, and that's up there too. Go for it, parents.
Thank you very much for coming in, Helen. You've been a great guest and a great guest to kick off the start of our new year here after our two-month hiatus. And boy, oh boy, bombshell.
Well, I also got to tell you, the kindergarten teachers and the principals don't know what help is really doing. They don't tell them about all this data linkage stuff and the
details. What about the parent advisory committees?
They don't. They tell them, oh, it's all good, it's all nice, friendly, happy, and have dinner with us. And they don't tell.
Wakey, people.
They don't tell them the facts.
Good. I hope you're coming back soon, and good. We'll stay on top of this. Do appreciate you coming in.
Okay, thanks for having
good.
Me.
Good. Thank you very much. And we've received a few more emails, and Ron will run through some of those emails for us. Back to our initial discussion.
Back to our initial discussion about what's going on in the Middle East. Jane emails in to say, nope, sorry, Islam does not allow for democracy. And, of course, she's quite right.
Yeah.
Look at what happened when the Shah was ousted in Iran. That was 79. Everyone was so happy when he was gone, and all the noises coming from there was that they were seeking democracy. So look at Iran now. Now, Islamic religionists instead took over, and Sharia law is the rule. And there is no democratic participation in Sharia law. It's enshrined. It's run by the theologians. The imams make fatwas, and that's it. There's no discussion. So,
can I just debate?
Listen,
it's no quite, discussion,
I don't
no debate.
Think we'd be on the air for very long.
Well, no, Ahmadinejad went to the United Nations and said they don't have a problem with homosexuals. Remember that? They hang them all.
We know how to deal with them.
So, by the way, Jane also said that she wants a video clip of the little skit that you just
did. The little role play.
Mrs. Simpson interviewing little Terry.
So, somebody might report me for child abuse. I made Terry O'Neill cry again.
Anyway. I have no idea how we got there. I wasn't intending to do that. I was just asking you at that time. I was just asking you to.
I don't know, but I think that has future potential, Terry O'Neill.
Gong show.
Don't mess with Mrs. That's Simpson.
Right. You are listening to Roadkill Radio here on the Roadkill Radio Network. Might as well be a full network. And if you want to send us,
because Marcy McDonald says it is.
That's right.
Yeah, I know.
I just heard that name this afternoon. I was talking with Kevin Michael Grace, one of our former colleagues at the Report magazines, and we talked for a bit about Marcy McDonald. Anyway,
and what did Kevin Grace have to say about Marcy?
Well, we weren't
McDonald.
Talking. Well, that was just in passing.
I was going to say Marcy who?
Yeah, Marcy McDonald. We haven't Armageddon factor.
Yeah.
I can't remember. It was our conversation was more about the fact that a column that Kevin wrote 7 or 8 years ago for the Report magazine, when he was a colleague of mine, about the fact that the neocons who were part of the conservative movement then were so critical of everything that Canada stood for after generation of liberal rule, that they were coming across as very anti-American and anti-Canadian, and they hated Canada. And he said that was a real problem. Kevin made a very, I mean, we talked about that in our editorial meetings and stuff for a few weeks, I recall. It was a powerful column that Kevin wrote. And apparently, this was just at the time that the new Conservative Party was sort of starting to form. And this column made a very strong impact on some of the leaders of that, including Stephen Harper, who realized that, yeah, you know what? I mean, we have to start advancing some positive ideas about positive things that we see for Canada as well. And that certainly was evident in the first election campaign just a little over 5 years ago that led to the initial election of the Conservative government and installation of Prime Minister Harper. All of that stuff is in this week's Maclean's magazine, a really good behind-the-scenes thing, and hats off to Kevin Michael Grace for writing a column that
inspired
and maybe changed the course of Canadian history
a
little bit.
Wait, you mean one person changing the world?
Yes, that's right.
How unhelp-like.
Not even a network, that's right.
Go, Kevin.